Nancy is here. Hello, Nancy, and welcome. I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Yes, we are. It's a really beautiful, off and on rainy day, but green and precious, and we're having a great Sunday. Hope everybody else is too, wherever you are.
Yes. Well, that's what we're here for, to take it up a notch. Wherever you are, it can always be better. Even if you think you're out the top of the mountain, it can be better.
So, that's so true.
And especially when we do it together, that's a very, very big part of the lesson, is being here doing it together. And that's why we welcome so many of you, as many as can be here, to be here in the community, sharing your life with us, your needs, your joys, and your hopes with us. It's a wonderful time that we've carved out for all of us. And then we give further out into the world, which is, you know, it's just like a sunflower opening up and then scattering seeds, which we do. So, Nancy, how is it with you and your kin on your side?
Everybody, yeah, we're doing good. Everybody's great. We had a nice little get-together yesterday, and, you know, just a lot of activity, a lot of, I like to tell you, I like to use compression, compress a lot of good things into a small amount of time, but it's good. We're just having family weekend with relatives from out of town, so, and they're all on their way just about now, so I get to spend time with y'all, so it's the icing on the cake for the weekend. I just love it.
Well, that is great. Didn't I hear somewhere the number 26?
Yeah, I did. I had 26 for here for family time and eating, and so, yeah, it was just wonderful. And we were lucky because the rain stayed away. It was hovering, but it this morning is when we got it all, so it was nice that it held off.
Yeah, we were blessed, too. It came during the night. So we got to have a sweet morning with the birds and the squirrels and doing a little bit of yard work, which was great. So we have, we're just starting our queue right now, and I think I'll just, talk a little bit because I need to make an announcement, and I think that may lead somewhere else just a little bit. I sent out our regular email last night, but there was a little addition on it, and I wanted to call attention to all of us here that we're going to put just a little tiny bit more organization and prediction so that we can include members of our community who can't be here for the whole duration of our delightful and meaningful conversation, much as they would like to be. You know, there's all kinds of things that can come up. Family can walk in the door. There can be a power outage. Got to go get a prescription before the pharmacy closes. We could list on for 1,000 items that could come up. And you can't be here the whole time or all the time. In addition to that, we have elderly people, and we have financially challenged people, and a lot of international members in our community who have a hardship actually making the connection with us for the duration on Sunday. And I hear from them sometimes during our call with a touch of sadness or impatience or frustration. Well, how do I do? So I finally made a decision. And it's been a long time coming because you know me. I'm more into the flow of love just happening. But there is a time when you need traffic lights. Otherwise, you'll increase the number of collisions or cars will get held up even more than normal. So we're going to put a little traffic light on our event. the actual blessing, the actual conveyance of the blessing now will happen at 4 o'clock. And you can plan on it. That way you're not wondering, well, when's she going to stop? When are we going to all just kind of close down and have the blessing? You'll know if we have used up our cue before that time, then I'm sure Yeshua will have a lot of things to say to you to fill the extra time. So there's no worry about how we fill the extra time. You just enjoy yourself. You come on board. Let us know what you need. Give us reports of your happiness and your blessings. All of these things, we love to hear from you. And Cinderella time, you know, when the carriage comes, we got on board, and that's at 4 o'clock. This way, all the other people who can't be here during our community time, and we're going to call this our, this is our gathering time and our community time, which we love and cherish, and we're going to honor that and keep it in place, but we have to shift gears at 4. And then I think it might even be good for you, too, because you've been with us maybe as much as an hour prior to that, and, you know, your beloved may be saying, honey, when's dinner? You know, so there could be all kinds of pressures even in your world. Or we're going to be late. I made reservations at the hotel, you know, for 5 o'clock. We're going to be late if you don't close it down now. So let's light the candle at 4, okay? And we will start transitioning into another state of listening, speaking, awareness, and sharing at that time. And I've added an extra thing for you, and it's for you as well as people who need an extra way of connecting. And that is, we now have a designated email address just for asking a blessing. And that email address is askablessing@christblessing.org. Christblessing.org is where you go to listen to recordings that you missed or archived ones that you are interested in listening to again. Oh, and by the way, we have been correcting all of the failures and seemingly lost recordings, which are not lost at all. What happened is that we changed service providers for that website a few months ago. I don't remember. It might have been as much as 6 months ago, but I don't think quite that long, because I would have been hearing about the problem sooner if it had been. Anyway, when we changed service providers, they did not accommodate that whole load of recordings that we brought forward. But all of those recordings were saved in the cloud, and we have subscribed to a facility on their service to provide them. Tim is uploading them and checking them out one by one, and he started at 2010, which was the beginning, and he just finished 2018 last night. So you can just enjoy those recordings soon. I think he's doing about a year a day. So by the end of this next week, we should have them all up to date and back to where you can find them, which is, oh, I was so worried. I can't begin to tell you. I was heartbroken because there have been so many beautiful messages that came directly from Yeshua or the Holy Spirit. I did not want to ever lose, and hoped at some point we could put those into writing, into manuscript. Anyway, we're doing it. It's going to be better than ever. and your ability to log, to get into them and to open them up and download them will be improved. So Tim's working on that so you can get them downloaded. You can keep them. And so many, many kudos and thanks to Tim for his good work and for finding out what went wrong. Now, back to what I was going to say about the, and I just got a prayer request. That is great. Okay, from Carrie. Thank you, Carrie. I know one of the reasons that some people will really enjoy this is because they want me to have the specifics of their needs as well as God. You know, I've told you all along, if you can't get on the line, put it to God in prayer because it's really between you and God anyway. But I know some people want it in coming from my prayer as well, but they don't want it public. So this will give you a way to keep your request private, get them to me. And also, I don't just offer prayers and blessings on Sunday. I offer prayers and blessings through the week. So you send me an email, I'll have it. And I'll have it in front of me. Whenever I go into prayers and blessings, you'll be right there with me. So I think it's a, I'm very, very pleased with how these various requests coming in literally from around the world prompted me to take some positive action and direction to get us up to date and ready for even more expansion. You know, this happens when you expand. You've got to provide for it. You've got to think ahead for developments and requests and needs that will come from an expanded environment, an expanded group of people. So we're doing it, and I'm so, so happy that I could make this change. And there will be some more coming up. I just don't want to load you tonight, but we've got lots of good things coming ahead, and all of them you're going to like. So we're going to be dancing in the sunlight and dancing in the rain. It doesn't matter because the evenings are beautiful. The mornings are beautiful. Even the storms are beautiful. Everything God created is beautiful, and we're going to stand in it with joy. Okay. Well, Nancy, do we have some people on the in the queue?
We do, and thank you for that, Glenda. I just love when, you know, structure serves us, and we need that. And I love your image, and, the, you know, it's true, we're expanding, and that's so important. So thank you for getting us all on track with that. So we do. We have some callers, and I'm excited to open up Nancy's line. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. I'm calling to let you know that my friend Mimi's surgery went wonderfully. She is the one who needed a hip replacement and who mm-hmm. teaches quantum physics and spirituality. She's the one.
Oh, my goodness.
And she had her surgery on Tuesday. They replaced her hip. She had to be there uh-huh. at 5:30 in the morning. By 10:30, she was back in her room eating ice cream and making phone calls.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, God.
I remember my time going through that. It was exactly the same.
Oh, wow. What a miracle.
Absolutely.
It is. Anyway, I didn't want to take up any more time because it's precious, but I did want to thank everybody. Thank you, Glenda and Nancy, and everybody who sent light and prayers and healing energy and guidance for her caregivers. Thank all of you.
Oh, that is great. That is great. And, you know, Nancy, I want to just build on your comments about her blessing in surgery and add something in the way of gratitude. and celebration, appreciation for our many, many medical caregivers who have devoted their life to taking care of the rest of us. There was such a stress as we went through the pandemic, and our medical professionals had to endure a lot of conflict, shall we say, that was unfortunate. There really, really was a lot of fear, and there was a lot of grief over loss, and there was a lot of anger over the fact that actions were taken without more certainty of knowledge. And I can understand and respect all of those natural human emotions. And I think there were some hasty moves and ill-advised moves during that time. But there was a panic. And during panics, a lot of people are really not at their best. A lot of people don't handle panics well, either on the receiving end or the giving end. It doesn't always bring out the best in us. And I just want to add a spirit of forgiveness on the one hand for where our knowledge was insufficient, to where our patience was inadequate, to where our grace was not displayed as well as it could be. Our faith was not as strong as it could have been. But on the other hand, as I look at where our medical science has come in the last 20, 30 years, it is amazing what our scientific medicine has accomplished. Just to think what your friend went through, what I went through quite a few years ago now. My last one was 2013. The hip replacement, to where I was walking 3 hours after eating ice cream, just as she was, and driving a car unassisted driving a car 1 week later. Now,
wow.
Now, I did have to be in physical therapy for quite a while, but it's not because I was disabled and needed. It's because they wanted to make sure that there was no scar tissue that could build up, and internal muscles need to be used for quite a while so that they, all the way to the depths of the bone, they're healing appropriately. And that in itself is medical science, because at one point, not too many years before that, when there would be what seemed to be a speedy, miraculous healing, they wouldn't follow through with enough physical therapy, and people would get scar tissue. But MRIs have now revealed the successive nature of therapy and how it has to be applied to long-term get you back to where you are. And that's an example of grace and patience in action. And I think sometimes we as patients or people who are perhaps suffering this, that, or the other, we need to apply a little bit of grace and patience to our lives and grant that to our caregivers, because they need it too. They're really trying their heart out. They wouldn't be in that industry. They just wouldn't. Even for those that are hoping to make a fortune, there's other ways they could make a fortune. That is a highly, highly stressful profession, because you're putting your life on the line for someone else's life over and over again, day after day after day. And I just want to offer an extended blessing to everybody who is involved in that community and the good work that they do and the dedication that they show to all of us. I deeply appreciate them and love them. I came from a medical heritage. I'm talking about five generations back to a grandpa who was a surgeon in the Civil War. So I got it in my blood to love and respect that profession. And I did inherit some really good karma because of my heritage. But still, we all can benefit by the development if we will just approach it with love and hope and belief and gratitude. We bring to every situation the results we will receive. We're part of everything. We are partners in everything, my friends. What you give, you will receive. And so,
if we did that in all things, Glenda and Nancy, it seems like in community that everything would take care of itself, wouldn't it? It sure would help.
It really would help.
There's a reason they call us patients.
Yes. It's true.
Being
impatient with your trouble can actually contribute to the acceleration of trouble.
I believe that. Yes, I've seen it. Yeah.
And I love that.
Not just with health problems. Could be with financial problems. You got to give that $1 bill a chance to multiply.
The universe isn't here to gratify our wishes instantly.
It's here to provide us with the tools and the resources to create the fulfillment of our wishes.
Exactly. Of our heart's intentions, yes.
And to cultivate our talents. To know what our talents are. And don't ever, and I say this to everyone, don't ever underestimate talents that cannot be seen or put on paper. You might have a talent for listening, a talent for caring, listening, and you can turn that into a life's work. That is actually income providing, but you have to cultivate it. You have to know it. You have to hold it to your heart and cultivate it and experience it. Because when you experience your own talents, then you will know how other people will experience them.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Nancy. We're so glad you called today.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank everybody for helping.
Yeah.
Well, let her know we all are so pleased for her. So tell Mimi.
Oh, yeah.
Let her know.
I sure will. And I'll tell her she's a good receiver.
Yeah. And there's a fellow trooper, Trump, and along beside her.
Okay. I'll let her know.
Okay.
That's so great. Thank you, Nancy. She is a good receiver. That's another wonderful reminder. So, Glenda, and thank you, Glenda, for that. We're not at our best when we're, in panic. And I think that is just so true, isn't it? It makes me think of your Geronimo story when they were, in the house and they were all partying and didn't fall into fear and anger. And, that's just a great story. If anybody hasn't had a chance, it's in Keys of Yeshua. So we have Mary here today. Hi, Mary. Mary, can you hear us?
Hey, honey. I had to unmute.
Yeah.
Hey, are you okay hearing me?
We are.
Yes, we hear you perfectly.
Oh, okay. I promise I will make my little Irish bard self be brief. So, and I'll apologize. Sometimes I have a little trouble breathing, and it makes my voice a little shaky. But I just wanted to ask for a blessing on my relationships with everyone and my own ability to be accountable and to listen to the voices of others and to really examine my own intentions and motives. And this was brought about by, so I love deer, and I live in the city, and my house has always been a sanctuary for deer, which I am going to stop because they were not safe. And a deer came to my house to die. She was hit by a car, and I tried and tried to get help for her. But what I ended up doing after 12 hours, nobody would come, and I know that in the animal kingdom, sometimes animals like to go off in solitude and just pass away peacefully. But this beautiful soul was in my yard, which she had always come to. And so when I've done hospice my whole life, and when this creature started actively dying, I crawled over to her very gently. I was trying not to threaten her, and I just sat with her, and I said, "You are so beautiful and dignified, and I'm so sorry for the way humans have encroached upon this land, and you're about to go to the animal kingdom, and it's almost over, and I love you so much, and it's such an honor to sit here with you." And we really locked eyes, like, during her whole labor, and I'm hoping that I was a source of comfort rather than threat. So I have upset some of my family because they feel like I put myself in danger and like I dishonored the animal kingdom, but it was my only intention to love her and sit beside her and convey that energy of, "You are so beautiful and I'm so honored and I send you peace and healing." So I just want to pray for all of our relationships and our own accountability, and that's all. So thank you. I hope this wasn't too long. Thank you.
Oh, it was beautiful. I'm so glad to hear this story, Mary. And you did the absolutely right thing. You know, I have talked about our relationship to animals in different ways, in regard to different levels of connection. And I think always we need to be aware of whether they are giving us permission and whether they're willing to receive us and want us to be there. We cannot be egotistical with animals because they were here long before us. They were here creating the earth in which we inhabit. They have given us food and other environmental resources for millennia. And millennia is actually an understatement if you really go back to trace the animal line. But they have been here in God's will for so long that they have their own way of doing things. And their way was not created in order to be our way. We have to be mindful of that. And so when I say little stories about the animals, don't intervene. Let them have their way of doing life, and don't presume upon their affection, because they may not have that affection for you. They have a right to give and receive according to their own orientation, their own desire, and just how they are relating to life and to humans. We have to respect that. And, you know, when we feel the love inside us, and then we connect the dots and say, well, love is who I am. Of course, I can approach this animal and they will want me because I'm coming to love them. Oh, no, 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 no. You haven't been patient enough. They don't know that you're coming there to love them. I mean, my goodness, really, we have not really much even been a friend to animals in a long time. We don't have rabbit whisperers. You know what I mean, really? We don't have deer whisperers and elephant whisperers. But when they do exist, the love animals have for us is overwhelming because they want to be in that kind of relationship. They just don't want us to presume on it. And if we presume inappropriately, they may spank us pretty hard. Which is why I say, you know, you're going through a wildlife park. Do not get out of the car, my friends. Don't presume on their willingness to be with you or to be friendly with you. They probably don't like that they're in a wildlife park. They probably don't like that cars are driving through. And they're a little bit annoyed with you. But when we do manage to cross the line of trust, trust is so important as a cofactor to love. You know, love has been abused by humans. I don't think it's abused by animals. And that's one thing I can really, I have never seen love abused by an animal. They either love you or they avoid you. Or they might try to make food out of you, and which is just another kind of love. But they don't betray love. They don't manipulate love. It is what it is. And once you cross that trust boundary with an animal, the love they have to offer is extraordinary. It is truly extraordinary. I was reading a story, and I'll condense it as much as I can because I think it would actually be a good message for today. I think I may have shared it, but I'm not quite sure. There was this. Now, this takes us to East Africa, where the majority of the wild elephants are living. Kenya and neighboring countries are host to most of the wild elephants today, and a lot of other wild animals too, but the elephants in particular. Well, there was a herd of little backstory. There had been a lot of poaching going on, and the government had stepped in and penalized the poachers severely. But they didn't like to be pushed back, and sometimes they would come in at night, and they couldn't see what they were shooting. So anyway, this, getting into this actual story, they had killed the matriarch of a herd. If you know, for those of you who know something about animals, the elephant herds are held together by matriarchs. Now, the males will forage and defend the herds, forage for new places, will guide the herd to new places, and will defend the herd, will fight for the herd. But the matriarch is actually what holds the herd together. The females care for all of the calves, and they hold the family together. And their families are very tight, very loving. If any one of them is injured, the whole family will surround until the animal is rescued or healed or whatever. If a baby is in trouble, they will all come until they've rescued the baby. So anyway, this the matriarch had been killed, and the herd was angry. And I'm talking about destructively angry. They would go to farms and batter outbuildings and tear down fences, and they had not been doing that. They wanted revenge. You know, their big mama had been killed, and they wanted to inflict an act of justice. Nobody could deal with those animals. Well, they called a man. I think he was in West Africa. Actually, he was. He comes from the British legacy. You know, the Brits were had a franchise over almost everything in Nigeria in the 19th and early 20th century. And he was from the British legacy. He had a plantation. Don't know what he grew, but anyway, he was very famous for being able to handle elephants. And so they called this gentleman in to see if there was anything he could do. Well, he got the name as time went on of Elephant Whisperer, because he would talk to the elephants and give them motion gestures and use his jeep to try to herd them. But the only thing that worked, being with them, he picked up the vibration of their sound, to how they would talk to each other, the sounds they would make for different, whether they were afraid or calling or feeding or calling a baby. He memorized those sounds, and he learned how to make sounds to the elephants. Now, he didn't know what he was saying. I mean, he didn't have a Rosetta Stone for animals, for elephant sounds, so he didn't know what he was saying. But he got to where he would make these sounds, and the elephants would come. And then he would walk maybe 20, 30 miles, and the elephants would follow him. So he was able to make these sounds that they recognized, and it caused them to trust him. And so they followed him. Yeah. And in several situations, he rescued their calves and built a strong trust relationship, which he then also worked out with the government. I think it was the government of Kenya. No, it was actually he owned many thousands of acres in Kenya. I think it was like 20,000 acres. It was a big, big thing, because he had actually been a plantation owner or his family had been in years past, or generations past. So he donated his acreage if the government would like cofactor and get a place. And he walked to create a pilgrimage for those animals into their new reserve. Once they were in, and then he walked the boundary of the reserve offering these sounds. Okay. From that point on, there was never an elephant that would cross the boundaries of that reserve. They were at peace. They were completely at peace. They loved him, but he was getting up in years, and he needed to go home and be with his wife and, you know, do grandpa things, you know, just relax and retire. So he went, his home was about 100 miles away from the reserve, and he lived there not too much longer, I think only about 5 years longer. And he passed away. When he passed away, the keepers of the reserve noticed something, and there had been no tangible communication with the elephants, as in, how in the world would they know? But they broke the fence, and they started a procession of one elephant after another. And they walked about 100 miles to surround his home.
Oh,
that's what animals, beautiful. They bury their dead. They bury their own, and they celebrate the passing of their own, which means they had accepted him as their own, and they knew where he was. They knew he was there. They knew he had passed. there's a story. This is all recorded and tributed on a video on YouTube. You could find it if you want to. I think you'd have to just search Elephant Whisperer, and it will bring it. This is a documented story. It's true. And it really says a lot about what can happen between us and the animal kingdom if we build that trust. And, you know, for a few weeks I was talking to you about the relationship between love and truth. Well, truth and trust. Trust is just an application of truth. When you are known to be true, people will trust you. When they trust you, love will be real.
Mm.
And it's true
so
of every life form.
Yeah,
it's true of every life form. And it explains why people who adopt lions or tigers when they're cubs and raise them, and there's trust and bonding, they never forget them. And it's never unsafe to be in their enclosure with them. I mean, they might wrestle you to the ground, but it's not for any other purpose than giving you a big cat hug. So when that trust is there, miracles happen. And I'll be real short on the next story for those of you who've heard about me being a fly whisperer. Well, I'm not right now because the worldwide community of flies is enormous. I think it's in the trillions, and they can't all know me. But it did happen when I was in Sedona, and this baby fly, I thought I had carried a flea. A flea was coming to me outside. I thought, why in the world is a flea landing on my arm? I looked closer, and it was a baby fly. Well, I was painting. I love to paint outside in Sedona because the view was just extraordinary, and the energy was heavenly. Anyway, I painted, and I talked to that fly, and that little baby fly stayed with me, and then he got on my paintbrush. I was very careful that he didn't get in the paint, but he wanted to see what I was doing with that brush. And after he watched me paint, he got on the painting. And he went to see what I was doing. He looked all over that painting. He flew and landed all over that painting, looking at that painting. And he stayed with me for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and then he flew away. And I said, bye. Bye, fly. Love you. Come back to see me. Okay, well, I don't know if I ever saw him again. But from that point on, for months, if I had a fly in the house, I would, I had to stop Larry from grabbing the fly swatter. I said, no, Larry, don't. They're my friends. And Larry said, you got to be kidding. When did you join the global fraternity of flies? And I said, okay, of course, he knew my story. And so I would hold out a finger and I would say, come on, I'll take you outside. They would come from wherever they were, land on my finger, and I would take them outside. There was trust.
It's so beautiful, Glenda, and it does console my heart. The deer would often come to my yard to give birth, and so I always felt like they felt safe here. And then
when this
gorgeous creature came to pass, I waited, and I did watch for signs that she felt safe, but I felt so honored that she allowed me to sit beside her at her next birth. So thank you so much, just prayers for all our relationships with each other. I'll let the next caller talk, but thank you.
Well, the same thing can be true and is true of human beings and our global family. What we've got going on in all of this conflict in the world is distrust. people are not trusting each other. When we trust each other, we will be able to convey the love we actually have. And that's something we need to, trust is something we need to earn, because you can't just expect that it's there. It's going to be there, and somebody's going to feel comfortable with you instantly. Think about ways in which you have earned someone's trust, what you did, and then contemplate more ways in how you can earn someone's trust. Sometimes it takes a huge sacrifice to earn someone's trust. You might need to let them have the last piece of pie instead of taking it for yourself. Yeshua earned our trust in a very big way. He gave his life.
Right.
Amen.
We're not willing to pay the price to earn the trust that we need to have. But the rewards of being trusted are huge. They're huge. And when you have trust for anyone, don't betray it. Don't betray it. It's a treasure that you will have forever. Someone who trusts you will be with you forever. You will see them in the kingdom of the high ground. You will see them in a next life, or wherever your travels carry you. Keep that trust, and they will not leave you.
Yeah.
You want peace on earth? The first thing we need to build is trust. And we can't, you know, you and I being where we are probably not going to be the ones to go to the Middle East and create trust. But we can create trust where we live. And any aspect of trust created, whether it's with another person or an animal or even the environment, with your yards, I created trust with my yard when I was just creating it, when I was on the vineyard, and I had just moved there, and we had sand like 3 feet deep, and the form of grass most beloved of sand is grass burrs. And the grass most annoying to human beings is grass burrs. So my biggest job that spring was to get rid of those little rascal grass burrs. And some people came. I called some people. They helped me. And they said, "Well, we'll just spray Roundup on it." I said, "Oh no, you don't. No Roundup on my grounds. It's got to be earth friendly." And so then I learned how to be earth friendly and create an environment that would be more nurturing to the grass I wanted and less nurturing the grass burrs. And they moved on, which is great. And I had to spend a fair amount of time with a little knife sitting in the yard on a stool with a knife, cutting out grass burrs and putting them in a bucket. But I created trust in the earth. So I meant that as an example. We can create trust in the earth. And every time you decide to recycle, you're contributing to trust in the earth. And, you know, let me tell you something. If the earth trusts us, it will be good to us. People who are afraid of what the earth could do to us are people who need to take a good, hard look at how they or others might have created distrust of the earth for humans. Where there's trust, there's peace. Where there is peace, there is prosperity. There's goodness, there's health, and there's goodwill. So, well, We've got some more callers on the line, Nancy.
Thank you.
Let's go for it.
Okay, so glad you called, Mary. We love you so much. We have Stormy. Hi, Stormy. Thank you for waiting.
Yes, I'll be very quick. Where do you see yourself in First Light?
Well, I see myself as the observer.
The elephants definitely knew where they were within First Light. The fly that came to visit you was looking for mm-hmm. its place in First Light. You know, the painting that you've done, you know, you've asked people where they see themselves in the portrait, the Lamb and the Lion. And I said, mm-hmm. well, all of it. You said that was good. But then as we were getting on the call, I thought, well, where can we see ourselves within the painting called First Light? Where do you see yourself? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd bring up that idea of we are First Light.
Of course. Of course. This is the light of God that springs forth from within us. And it springs forth within us at our moment of conception and again at our moment of birth. And then at all the sequential times of rebirth through our life when more revelations occur. So, yes, thank you, Stormy. We've got one more caller and only a few minutes left before 4. So,
well, let me open your line. Thank you, Stormy. Yeah. We have Christopher now. Hi, Christopher. You're wrapping up our calls today.
Hey, hi, everybody. Well, I loved what you shared about animals, Glenda. I can really attest to that. I have a friend who has 3 wolf dogs. They're 51% wolf or somewhere in that uh-huh. range. And it was just amazing because at first they don't act like dogs at first. They're very withdrawn, or I don't want to say withdrawn. They're just not as like outwardly affectionate a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I just saw how they truly welcomed me into the pack, so to speak. And then even when mm-hmm. I was far away, I would sometimes, the matriarch, she would come to me in my meditation and look at me. So where are you? What are you doing? You know, do you have a home? Where are you? It was just amazing to feel that, you know, even hundreds of miles away, she would be holding me in the
yeah.
pack, so to speak. And it
yeah,
just
exactly.
does take that time, like, wow, you know, not to expect them to function in the way that I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that. And I just wanted to say I went to a revival yesterday. It was a very beautiful experience because these Christians, I mean, were so, I felt like so embodying the love of Christ in this welcoming of diversity. Of peoples of different cultures and genders and sexual orientations. It was such a welcoming energy. And I just feel so gratified and inspired and heartened by this because there's been so much division. And so many people
yeah.
that are speaking in the name of Christ these days are speaking in such strange ways that are very divided and dividing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just wonderful to be in a crowd of hundreds of people that were focused more on love and inclusion. So I just want to express gratitude for this you know revival here in Northern California, and also just a prayer for all those who feel excluded. They belong in Jesus's arms and in his flock. They belong here in Spiritus, and they belong in his embrace. And to feel that people have been alienated and marginalized in his name has been tragic to me for years and years. So it's just wonderful
Absolutely.
To be here and, you know,
yeah,
just want to lift
yeah.
that up in the face of a lot of division and strange things that people say in his name these days. So
I know.
Blessings to all those who are really walking it and being courageous and bold. And speaking truth to power and bringing his love to everyone who deserves it, which is all of us. So, Glenda, thank you for making a space where that's possible every Sunday, you know, and let's have more of that be what people think of when they think of Christians, you know?
And Christ that's followers. What we're here for. We yeah. should be the ones who are trusted. We came to bring the message of God to the world, that you are brought back to God. You're welcome in the presence of God. You are part of the kingdom of heaven, and we're all building heaven together. And we've got the message that should be trusted because it's true. It's right, it's true, and it should be celebrated. So let's just do it. Hey, guys, everybody, let's just do it. All right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thank you for doing it every week. And I mean, you know, I've told you this before, it's very difficult, you know, and I read academic articles about this, you know, when people come to the church and grow up LGBTQ or some version of what's not, you know, welcome. And then when they grow up and they find a church that's affirming, they say this can be life-changing for someone. When you go into a space where you don't feel judged, you don't feel microaggressed against, you feel genuinely loved for who you are, and you think, this is Jesus. This is Yeshua.
Absolutely.
Reach out his arm and say, come over here. You're different, and you're special, and I want you over here.
I know. I know. It just.
Well, thank you, Christopher.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, I think we got a good program going here, guys. You know, because the ones who came online really wanted to say something, and I've been getting emails as we were talking, and it's fine. It's fabulous. I love it. You know. So I can honor your needs for a blessing and be here for you. And the ones who really want to talk, hey, you got the time to talk. And we are just at the Cinderella hour. That's where the pumpkin comes.
Thank you.
We love you, Christopher.
Yeah, we do. Christopher, Nancy, Mary. And a famous Stormy, who isn't a storm at all. What an ironic name for you, Stormy. You are the sweetest person I know. If that's what a storm is, I want more of it. Okay?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. We're going to mute everybody's line so we can have peace and quiet. And that's what. Okay. This is what I want for all of you. Peace, quiet, love, and to be bathed in the grace of God and held in the love of God. Just be there with the one who knows you best, who created you, and created you perfectly to be exactly the person you are. We love you exactly as you are. You don't have to be anything else. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be professionally this or that. You don't have to be any particular form of faith or wisdom. All you have to do is be your wisdom and your faith and your love, your grace, and to be you. You know, when it's all said and done and you sit down beside God, God is just going to thank you for being you. You might say, well, you know, if I did this, that, some other gracious, tremendous, beautiful thing, God will thank me when I see him. No, he's going to thank you for being you. because you are a part of him. You are a part of him that chose to exist in this side of the field where the work still needs to be done. And it took courage to be here. It took faith to be here. It took a desire to extend and display your love into a place that can be quite hostile and challenging. And you came here. It's all about you. It's not really about your works. It's about you. You know, Jesus taught us about the vine or the fig tree that was not particularly fruitful. Well, it was only that vine that was cut down so it could grow a better vine. The vineyard was not eliminated. The vineyard was not unloved. The grape plant was not cut down. Only the vine was clipped so that it could grow more plentifully in another year, in another harvest. The vine was not eliminated. God didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I created grapes, those awful things that just grow limbs and never produce fruit. Of course not. He knows that there are seasons of productions. There are seasons where everything works out and we're fruitful. And there are times where there's challenge and we're not able to get the job done. But you see, it's not about the job. It's about you. You had the courage to be here. You had the strength to be here. And you're here. And he wants to bless you, to give you his love, his light, his grace, beauty, freedom, and motivation for even more creation, more love. So that's why you're here, and that's what we came to do. The blessing givers are here with me, and we are together in this as conveyors of this precious energy that comes straight from the heart of God through the Holy Spirit and through the life and service of Yeshua to be here in the fullness of love just for you. Okay. So let's start by taking a deep breath. I just want you to breathe through your nose and breathe fully up through into your sinuses as well as deep into your lungs. Spread your ribs, straighten your neck so that you can carry the air up. Fill your head, fill your nose, your head, your sinuses, your lungs. Spread your rib cage. Take as much in as you can. It's a gift of life to you. Now use it to sweep out everything that you need to let go of. Just exhale through your mouth. That's your blowgun. Okay? Blow it out. Take another deep, deep breath through your nose. Bring it up. Inhale. Fill your head, your torso, your lungs, your ribs. Extend that diaphragm. Hold it for a second or two. And now blow it out. And now we're going to take our breathing to a normal breath, but one that we're mindful of, that we engage in with our heart and all of our senses. There are really four phases of every breath. Every breath has four phases. One is inhaling. Your first breath in life, you inhaled. And then when you blew it out, oh, you cried. like a little rascal. You blew it out with volume. So I want you to inhale, but gently this time. We're going to take it just gently, mindfully. Inhale and pause. Pausing is the second phase of inhaling. And actually, when you are in a healthy breath, you're on an oximeter. You will notice there's a little space where you pause. That pause is essential to give your body a chance to absorb and take in the breath. Once you have taken in the breath, the third phase is to now give a breath. We give out. We take in. We pause. We give. But we don't take back in immediately. We pause. Even if it's only a millisecond, we pause. It's in the pause where the gift is given. Why? Take your swat. Because that's where you let go. When you're in the act of giving, you're still connected. You're the force pushing the breath out. When you let go, the breath has been given. The same on the inhale. When you inhale, you're drawing it in, which means you're actively taking in the gift of life. When you pause, you're receiving. It has been taught through the ages in mystery schools, indigenous celebrations, meditations, prayers, dances, as far as they can be recorded or passed down in known knowledge, healing practices. These four elements of breath were celebrated. And the shaman or the healer or the prayer leader would acknowledge and teach that the real miracle happens in phase number 2 and 4 in the pauses. In phase number 2, the inhale pause is when you actually receive. Phase number 4 is when you actually release and give. These are the phases in which the gift is given or the gift is received. I think one of the reasons so many of us have difficulty receiving is because we don't pause and notice this moment in our breath. This is we call it here the four square breath, but I'm not the first to call it that. I inherited that from somewhere and don't remember who I first got it from. So I'm sorry I can't give a complete acknowledgement on that, but I can tell you it's not original. And of course the breath is not original. This is indigenous to life. And it said that all breathing, lung-provided mammals do the same thing. It's in the pause that the gift is given and received. So don't skip it. And let's just practice this together. Now, I'm going to suggest you count to 4, which is why one of the reasons I call it the four square breath, because 4 motions are part of it, but also you count to 4, then you can kind of measure your breath. But I'm not going to give you the count because we all breathe at different speeds or paces. But just practice it now and feel it. Inhale to the count of four. Pause. Exhale to the count of four. Pause. Release to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. Pause. Release to the count of four. Pause. Inhale to the count of four. Pause. Exhale to the count of four. Pause. You get this rhythm. It's a very, very healing rhythm. A lot of people would tell me in the past, Glenda, your breath is so shallow. You need to breathe deeper, take in deeper breaths, and exhale more deeply, and I would practice it. And I actually found it a little bit exhausting. Didn't stick with it. But once I learned to do this, my breaths are more nurturing. They're more nourishing. I have a higher oxygen level in my body, because I've tested it, than I do if I do the heavy breathing. Because if I do the heavy breathing, all I'm concentrating on is inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. I'm not doing the pauses. When you take that extra millisecond for the pause, that's when the miracle happens. That's when the nourishment happens. You can do this in traffic, calm your mind. Do this in a tense moment at work, calms your mind, and nobody will know you're doing it. Because it's just a normal breath. And it's between you and yourself, your higher being, and God, what you're doing. But your pace in the moment will change. Your mood in the moment will change. So I want you to continue that breath now as we get into the meditation, because the meditation is going to come to you energetically. Everything in our universe is energetic, but it's many different frequencies of energy. Many frequencies of energy. Not like the kind that drives your car or turns the light on in your home, but very subtle energy that you may or may not feel. But it's that subtle energy going through you that actually does give you chill bumps at times or God bumps at times, because some inspiration or realization brought you to a heightened state of awareness. And you get these little bumps all over your arms. So, yes, your body does feel it. Just not with the same dramatic response most of the time as it would if you put a massage pad on your back. That's a totally different phase of energy. But all light is energy. All manner of existence is energy. And how did the elephants know to find the elephant whisperer? They knew when his energy stopped. His physical energy, they knew when it stopped. And then they noticed that his spiritual energy came to them. They knew. And it drew them to him. This is a powerful thing to know, my friends. And we teach our blessing givers about this. And we're going to give you the benefits of it starting in just a moment. First, I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua, and then we will begin. our Lord, Lord of life, of light, of healing, the one who gives us water that will quench our thirst, air that will fill us with blessing, and food that will never leave us hungry. We ask for your blessing now, for all the things that we would need to replenish in our life, that we're feeling a little bit empty for lack of, or perhaps we're a little anxious, not knowing how it will unfold or be given. We ask you to calm our minds, to lend grace to our spirit, calm to our body, that we may receive the assurance, the gift and the power of God in this moment to be healed, to be comforted, to be drawn toward our destination, and to find those who belong in our life, and we who belong in theirs. We pray that you will help us build our community to a high point of strength and duty, creation and beauty, to include more and more people in our community and inspire that other communities based on love and faith and truth be happening around the world. We ask for your blessings to the poor. To the faint of heart, to the children, and to those who don't even have a spirit of faith because they've been dulled by the pounding and the hardship of the world. We ask that you be with them and bring them to those who will care for them. Bring them to sources of relief, of food, of health, and well-being. We ask that this blessing to us today will be spread to the world through ways of connection that are yours and the Holy Spirit to explore and develop, to bring into passing and perfection. All of these things we ask in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now to convey the blessing? Amen. Amen and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and rest. I want you to be horizontal. No body part above the other, except for the slight dimension of your horizontality. Just be resolved and peaceful within yourself for at least 7 minutes. And during that time, do not continue your prayer. Do not even think. Just be quiet. Be still. Be in a neutral place where you are allowing God to be in charge. God gives his blessing according to his will. When he is in charge, the blessing is given. Now, just be there for at least 7 minutes. And then I wish you a wonderful week. Fair weather, beautiful opportunity, good friends, peace and love. Bye-bye for now.